A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. As always, a big thank you to the community-minded, good people at Horicon Bank. All right, I got three P's for this morning's show. Pavement, parking lots, and pickleball. How's that for positioning? Ryan Laughlin from PLM Paving is going to join us. A lot on our plates, and I got to tell you, part of the inspiration here is that I just watched the movie The Dink on Apple TV. This whole like struggle, if you will, between tennis and pickleball. But there's a image in the movie that has a globe, and it paints this picture of pickleball courts just taking over the entire globe. So I thought that, all right, we need to learn more about how pavement works with pickleball here in the Midwest. So we're gonna dive into that a whole lot with the good people from PLM Paving. But as we do each and every morning, we're going to take some time and we're going to go two up.
Now it's time for the
two, count 'em, two.
Two up on the upswing.
Two up. These are two things in the business and community world that I'm seeing that I think you need to know a little bit more about. I've always talked about the need for more daytime traffic in the Deer District. And here's a project that's going to help that. A premium sports card and collectible retailer, Mitch's Cards, has committed to 2,500 square feet within this new development called Fieldhouse Flats in the Deer District. It's not going to open until 2028, but it's good movement. It's a commercial tenant in a mixed-use development, really signaling some momentum for Deer District as a year-round destination. Now, it's going to take some a little bit more time to get more retail, more residential, and more corporate there, but this is what's needed. Deer District really needs more daytime activation to complement its, of course, all the event-driven destination-type things. Obviously, Bucks, Marquette, and more. So Mitch's Cards can help fill that gap. A specialty retailer. It's going to be a destination for collectors of all ages. The store's regular hours have special events. You're going to get that hobby culture. You're going to get that tourism appeal that comes with collectability. So I'm excited for this. Fieldhouse Flats is going to have 269 workforce apartments. It's going to have shared athletic training facility with MATC, public green space, structured parking, and now a retailer. It's a good move forward. I still think we need more retail in the Deer District, maybe a bookstore, and I'm going to continue to lobby for it. I want a signature Quick Trip in the Deer District. Let's make it happen. Second up, saw this item about Big Soda really leaning into women's health. If you drink Gatorade or maybe you drink Propel, these are two big brands that are owned by PepsiCo. PepsiCo is taking a huge research component out of their company, rolling out a 5-year research program to better understand women's health, hydration needs, body composition, and hormonal influences on health. Now, this is all about selling more beverages, but it's also about kind of filling that gap between men's health and women's health. Oftentimes, we do not study enough when it comes to women's health issues. Everyone drinks beverages, and there's special needs that women have in terms of hydrating the body. So it's good to see PepsiCo really stepping up on their research side. This chief science officer, Tara Glasso, says that in nutrition and health research, this initiative is going to continue to position PepsiCo as a first mover in treating women's health and distinct design in their beverages. This is all good stuff to hear, but I really hope that this trickles down to the local level because there's opportunities for integration on community health partnerships in cities like Milwaukee. And it's really important to connect global needs to local needs, especially when it comes to corporate wellness. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are live from the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Podcast Studio. Ryan Laughlin from PLM Paving joins us. Ryan, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to be here with us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Of course. So I mentioned in the introduction that I spent some time this weekend watching the movie The Dink on Apple TV. And, you know, everyone's talking about this challenge, tennis versus pickleball. And there's a lot of pavement in the pickleball space. So I look forward to us kind of diving in on the sports construction, asphalt, concrete issue, if you will, because I know that's a big part of your business. But I wanted to just begin our conversation. You've worked in sales. You've worked in the dispatch side, estimating, project management. Just kind of give us your path to president and CEO and kind of what your career journey's meant.
Yeah, of course. And by the way, we watched the Dink movie as
okay,
well.
Okay, all right.
And
we can swap our reviews later.
Yeah, we'll do that.
I don't know. Yeah, all right.
But so for me, I think it really what I draw upon most is the fact that having sat in almost every seat, I have a real deep understanding of what it takes to do it well. And I think one of the things that allowed me to advance through the organizations is that relationship and being able to put myself in the position to understand what it took to do it.
Yeah.
So there's a building block, right? When you take estimating and sales, there's an opposite component, which is the project management and the supervision.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, when you have enough experience and you have the right things going on, you get to lead those departments from an operations management.
Yeah.
And then my path took me into overall leadership. So whether it was leading sales, leading operations, I spent a brief time as a CFO, but okay, all of those relationships are built from really from the field level to the boardroom,
mm-hmm,
and understanding how to get the most out of people in those roles.
So you can sense that engagement between all tiers of the organization and because you've been there.
Yes.
And that's really important for a leader.
Yes.
So if someone's hearing PLM for the first time, give us an overview of the type of projects you're working on in southeastern Wisconsin.
Yeah, of course. So our business is 95% commercial.
Okay.
And when I say commercial, that's going to wrap up everything from a church to a hospital to a office building.
Okay.
The remaining 5%, I think, would largely be focused on larger residential projects. These would be your half-mile driveways. These would be your custom concrete, things like that. And and we use a lot of that work because when we work for our clients, if they ask us personally to do work at their property, we don't say no.
Yeah.
You know, it just comes with the relationship. But I would say about 60% of our work focuses on maintenance.
Okay.
And maintenance can stretch from something as simple as a $500 pothole repair or restripe up to paving over a parking lot.
Okay.
So then the opposite of that, that remaining 40 would be your new constructions, your reconstructions.
Is the pothole business a large one for you, given our climate and our infrastructure here in the Midwest?
Very much so. So potholes are the outcome of a lack of maintenance.
Hmm.
And so what we try to do is we try to educate, consult with our clients to help them prevent the potholes from forming. But to your point, yeah, we love potholes. I mean, we have a perpetual business of fixing holes. And the parking lot, when you think about a building, someone who owns a property, the two most expensive components of that are the roof and the parking lot.
Yeah.
And so when it's kind of like your body. When you fail to maintain your body, it's harder to get it back into shape.
Yeah.
And your parking lot's not any different.
So talk about a core philosophy that you bring to all your jobs. Because, I mean, you're looking at parking lots, you're looking at sports courts, you're looking at civil infrastructure, which are huge projects.
Mm-hmm.
What do you bring as kind of, hey, this is our A number one going into every project?
Well, A number one is always safety.
Right.
100%, because we work in a dangerous environment. Not only do we have the customer or the tenant or the deliveries, because a lot of our work is on live sites.
Mm.
So we need to make sure that everyone around our job site can get there safely. Think about redoing a Target.
Yeah.
You know, you still have to get people into the store. After that, everything starts with a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in construction, plan A never goes your way.
Right.
It's always about the contingency. It's about preparing yourself for what do we do. So planning requires communication, and that's the beginning of every project.
Yeah.
What are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? Turn, you know, bring that forward with a strategy. So our core philosophy is to deliver an exceptional experience at the end of the day. We want the customer, the tenant, we want everyone to really think that we were invisible to them.
Yeah.
That when we came and redid your parking lot, that you knew there was work going on, but you didn't have to walk out and say, what's wrong with this? Or I'm concerned about that.
Mm-hmm.
We deliver that process. And 75% of our work is repeat business.
Okay.
So we build relationships over time.
Yeah. We're talking with Ryan Laughlin from PLM Paving.
We'll be right back. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. As always, thank you, Horicon Bank. All the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank, we appreciate your support.
We're talking with Ryan Laughlin from PLM Paving. So, Ryan, how do you encourage your partners, clients, business owners to kind of think beyond just fixing this crack for me, right? You got to look at safety. You got to look at drainage, long-term performance. How does that all factor into the plan?
It begins with understanding whether what mode you want to be in. Too many asset owners live in a reactionary mode.
Yeah.
So they see something, it bothers them, but by the time they see it, they've missed steps that could have prevented it.
Mm-hmm.
So the opposite viewpoint would be preservation versus maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about potholes, we talk about things like crack sealing, where we seal the joints.
Mm-hmm.
You know, water is the biggest enemy of pavement. Anytime that water can get through the pavement, we're going to end up getting premature damage. So we can look at seal coating. We look at striping. There's a lot of safety related liabilities, lawsuits, legal challenges related to a lack of maintenance.
Okay.
So one of those elements would be ADA, the America Disabilities Act.
Yeah.
There are very strict legal requirements for properties to maintain. And those lead to not only injuries, but lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
So what I advise customers first and foremost is let's start with a plan. Let's understand, can we help you develop your strategy? So whether it's a walk the lot assessment, let's just take you out. Let's walk the lot. Let's tell you what your lot is doing. We can look at it through a wider, bigger piece and say, let's build a 3 to 5 year budget for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a lot of cases, small businesses don't necessarily care for that, but larger businesses live off of budgets.
Right. So if you're looking at like a parking lot project, I mean, you talked about walking the lot, looking at the design elements that are needed.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of walk us through, if you will, that process. I mean, they're seemingly, you know, we're all really comfortable driving into a parking lot, but there always seems to be little like design quirks that just throw you off, maybe from a striping or from a grading or from like the signage just isn't right. You take a holistic approach when you're looking at design in a parking lot that works for the client?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it starts with understanding the needs. So, you know, if we're sitting down to look at your parking lot, the first thing we're going to understand is what are your goals? How many cars are you trying to park on this? That's the easy part.
Yeah.
You know, really pavements are designed for traffic and cars don't count.
Mm.
It really is about trucks.
Mm.
So we start with understanding the use.
Mm-hmm.
That leads to the structure. Then we look at the grading and the drainage.
Hmm.
So, you know, a lot of jobs, a lot of projects, they've been built up on, they've been poorly maintained. Sometimes people pave over lots to try to make them look nice,
mm-hmm.
but the reality is they screw up the drainage. So, you know, with our experience at earthwork, grading, paving, concrete, we can come in and say, okay, well, we'll step back. You know, instead of you hiring an engineer, you hiring a consultant,
mm-hmm.
we can go out and shoot those elevations. We can redesign those grades.
Mm-hmm.
We can turn it into something that actually functions.
Yeah.
The second component would be budget.
Okay.
You know, whenever we're meeting with a client, we need to understand that the budget has to fit your needs. And it isn't always that your budget now fits your needs. So it might be we have a $150,000 total liability, but we can't generate more than $30,000 for the next 2 years. Well, let's put the best $30,000 into your parking lot so that when we do get to spending that last $120,000, we haven't wasted the money.
Yeah. Are you seeing municipalities and business owners taking a more eco-friendly approach to concrete and asphalt projects than you did 5 years ago? And if so, what does that mean?
It's challenging.
Yeah.
Asphalt, by its very nature, and concrete to a point, they're both 100% recyclable.
Yeah.
You know, so we always try to use those materials, reuse those materials.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime that we can keep the materials on site, anytime that we can crush them, recycle them, we're going to do that. One of the challenges with green pavements, and we just did a project which we can talk about, because it's a really great project. It addresses all the things that you're getting at, which is bad drainage, bad traffic, unsafe. It had stormwater, which is drainage, actually turned into porous pavement. So one of the eco-friendly things that we do is we install porous pavement, and it's really... If you've never seen it, it's unbelievable.
Where the water absorbs into the concrete.
It goes straight through it.
Straight through, into the ground.
Into the ground. So you build a pavement that looks like Rice Krispies.
Okay.
And the water goes right through it. We could take a 5-gallon bucket, and it would disappear in 10 seconds. And then below that is layers of rock that don't have any fine material in it. So the whole goal of those porous pavements is that the water drains through the pavement, settles into the storage zone, and then absorbs back into the earth.
All right, fascinating. We are talking with Ryan Laughlin from PLM Paving. When we come back, Ryan, we're going to dive into some of your key projects, but I want to hit the pickleball court with you if you're willing to do that.
I'd love it.
All right. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are live in the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin podcast studio, Ryan Laughlin, and we're bringing in Mike Blaney from PLM Paving. We're talking pickleball, we're talking pavement and more. You guys have a big project you're working on in Menominee Falls. Can you give us the overview of that? Because I know it includes two pickleball courts, and I want to talk about kind of the ups and downs and ins and outs of paving sports courts and how important that is to your business.
Absolutely. So we've been doing maintenance for Social House for many years.
Okay.
And this parking lot is just a hot mess. You know, it's the parking lot's too small, so people park on the street.
Okay.
When they park on the street, the sight lines are blocked. So it's incredibly difficult to get in and out. There's accidents that happen all the time.
Yeah.
And so what Social House did was they recognized that, one, they needed to create more parking. They had a lot of challenges, and we worked with them. We worked with an engineering firm, and we ended up creating a design that would allow them to expand their parking lot adjacent to a DNR wetland. And that's a little bit of a scary thing, because whenever you're dealing with those governmental federal agencies, every little detail matters.
Yeah.
So this design incorporated completely rerouting the traffic. So if you imagine traffic went from left to right, now it's going to go from right to left. It's going to go through the parking lot, around the bar, and funnel towards this community area, which will have pickleball and bocce ball courts. Inside of that, we had to build this porous pavement. So there was no other way around it. So we put the porous pavement in to allow for the right amount of stormwater management. What made it kind of a signature project is it incorporates all the elements of our work. So we did the excavation. We did the tree clearing. We got the ground ready to go. We built up the drainage systems. There's 5-6 feet of stone underneath this parking lot to basically create a storage layer for all this water. Curb and gutter all the way around, new concrete pads to build an outdoor bar. And then in the center of this is two pickleball courts. And I love this trend because, like, for years, you know, you probably played volleyball or softball, bar league. Well, this pickleball is just exploding. Everyone wants pickleball time. And if you combine that bar league mentality with, you know, where do you go for your community?
You build better community, you create additional revenue opportunities, and that's what it's all about.
So it's been a great project. We're we've just finished the construction of it about a week ago, weeks ago. We have to wait. One thing when you do when we build courts is there's a little bit of a delay while the asphalt cures before you can finish the coatings. And so we're actually really proud that we're having a 60th anniversary party to celebrate PLM. And we're also using it as a showcase for our sports division, American Sports Construction.
And Mike Blaney, Mike, can you just kind of explain your relationship with PLM in terms of how you work with a company on the sport court side?
Yes. So PLM is part of Pave America. Pave America stood up a vertical of America Sports Construction. In the development of that division, Ryan and I worked very closely because both of our companies have, you know, took on sports construction as a vertical. So in that time, we grew a relationship. You know, their division has grown tremendously over the years. And, you know, we've developed America Sports Construction, which is a national brand. We're self-performing in 35 states. you know, and we've grown tremendously to the fact that we're doing NIL deals with Kate Fahey, a professional pickleball player, the number two women's pickleball player in the world. We've partnered with brands like Duper, which is the most accurate pickleball player rating system in the United States and I believe the world. So just being able to broaden our reach and work with brands that we never thought that we would be able to do is not only helping America Sports Construction as a brand, but PLM as well, giving us opportunities to learn about, you know, what the professionals like to play on, what kind of courts, you know, are safe for them to play on.
Well, and what do you hear from the pros in terms of what they want with construction? Like, is it a certain slickness on the pavement? Like, what? Give us like the behind the scenes mentality of creating a sport court specifically for pickleball.
So funny you ask. I actually had the luxury to hang out with Kate last week on a content shoot. We were doing a content shoot for the company and to promote our business, and I pulled her away for a minute and asked her, you know, what surface do you prefer to play on? Do you prefer to play on cushion, what you find a lot of indoor facilities, or do you like prefer to play on hard courts? And she actually prefers to play on hard courts. It's a much faster game. Ball, you know,
harder on the knees, maybe, though.
A little harder on the knees, and she says it's not, you know, it's not for the for the weak, but you know, for the professionals, they like to play on a faster surface. So, you know, not that everybody needs to play on a faster surface, but you know, it's just funny to hear how a professional takes their take, because a lot of, you know, leisure players are playing on cushion, easier on the knees. It's a little, you know, softer play and
So Mike, like, you know, we also build concrete courts though, post-tension concrete. You wanna, can you tell the difference between the two?
Yeah. So post-tension concrete versus asphalt is, you know, there's one, a cost difference. Post-tension is, you know, quite more expensive, but it's the gold standard.
You know, you're talking a 50-year court.
We're talking a 50-year court, exactly. Yeah, compared to an asphalt court where you could start seeing, you know, cracking within 2-3 years. You know, asphalt, obviously, like I said, is a lot of more of a cost-effective way of putting in a court. But, you know, it is a little softer on your knees as well. Asphalt has a little bit of flex to it compared to a concrete court where it's concrete.
And are there climate differences in your work? You know, you work in the Midwest compared to warmer climates in terms of what you're going to do outdoors?
Absolutely. So, I mean, the climate really dictates, you know, application season for applying acrylics and applying these cushion courts. And then the climate also affects longevity of the courts. You know, we have a freeze and thaw here in the Milwaukee area and the north. And you know, that takes into effect a lot of things. You know, you're going to have to do annual maintenance. Not like if you're back in Florida where you don't see cracks right away. Here, you're going to have to close up those cracks so water doesn't get in, freeze, and crack.
And just from my like naive standpoint, is there a difference in terms of concrete mix from a basketball court to a pickleball court to a tennis ball?
No, I mean, we use the same mixes on the same on those courts. There are times where if you're doing asphalt courts, you know, and someone requests a virgin mix, that is, that just means that there's no recycled material in the mix. And I, you know, Ryan's the paving guy. He could probably go into the specifics and science behind it. But
yeah, a lot of, like, a lot of the design standards from that viewpoint come down to that. It's how the material behaves. So when you introduce the recycled materials, the pavement gets brittle. And so from a specification level, the better that that product is built day one, the longer that that court is going to last. So when you look at, and this is something you'll see the difference between public sector and private sector. Private sector does not have as strict of standards. The public builds things to last longer. And they're built more expensive, but they also have a bigger budget.
What about striping on concrete? What are the different elements that go into that from a safety standpoint?
Well, I mean, one of the things about concrete is it's incredibly difficult to get paint to stick to it. So in a lot of cases, if we're trying to create a long-term concrete pavement with paint, you know, we're going to use epoxy paints. You know, where on a asphalt lot, we're going to use chemical-based acetone, or we're going to use water-based paints because they bond better to the asphalt.
And on the sports coatings, we do use a concrete promoter to adhere the acrylics to the concrete. So there's an extra step when it comes to the concrete acrylics.
All right. We'll be right back. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing.
You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman.
Let's kind of zoom out a little bit in terms of the career opportunities in your industry. Are you seeing a big shift in terms of like a younger workforce that's looking to get into the trades? And, you know, what kind of questions are you getting from new employees, Ryan?
Yeah, by far there's a tremendous skill gap in the trades. And, you know, as a country, as a nation, however you want to look at it, you know, we spent 20 years telling everyone they had to go to school. Mm. And the reality of it is you can come work for PLM or any construction company and day one make $50,000.
Yeah.
And you have a definitive path that with a company that promotes training, that will invest in you, whether it's to get your CDL, you know, which we'll pay for. Mm-hmm. You know, we have no problem investing in that, mm-hmm. sending you to operator schools. There's a path to making a six-figure job. And mm-hmm. so attracting the younger generation is one of the most important functions of all construction companies right now.
Yeah.
Because you have this exiting of the people that are 55 to 75 that's been happening for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So opportunities-wise, we welcome it. I think from a growth perspective, we have to have that. You know, one, I'm not saying that all people that are in their 20s can't work with people that are in their 50s, but there is a cohort mentality that mm-hmm. people want to work with like thought people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mike, can you tell me about a mentor or a leader in your career that you've had that really had a big impact on you?
Yeah. So, I mean, sort of getting to the growth path.
Yeah.
I started from 17 years old at a paving company in New Jersey.
Okay.
Esser Brothers Paving. Mm. It was a family-run company. You know, I worked on every single crew from seal coating to paving, concrete, putting in catch basins, and sort of worked my way through the ranks. And, you know, Tom Esso and Gary Esso took me under their wings and let me, you know, come in the winter to learn estimating and do all sorts of stuff. On the other side of the business when I was on operations. So I was able to learn a lot of things that, you know, not a lot of guys in the field were able to learn. So, you know, my growth path was a little faster than most.
Mm-hmm.
Got into project management, did that for a few years, learned a lot about that. And, you know, the brothers giving me that opportunity, giving me that platform to grow in their business was tremendous for me because I was able to take that next step from project management to next now sales to estimating. Yeah. And then, you know, when the sports construction opportunity came about, I took it and I ran with it. Tom and Gary both, you know, gave me the go ahead to, this is yours, go ahead, run with it. And then Pave America recognized it. We stood up a vertical.
You were well equipped with the leadership and the mentorship to do so.
Yeah.
Ryan, same question. As you were rising through the ranks, who was a mentor and leader that you looked up to?
Yeah. May I give two?
Of course.
All right. So
it's a community of mentorship.
Yeah. So the first one was I had the opportunity to work for an entrepreneur who came in to lead an organization that I was a part of named Kerry Chesick. And Kerry founded, you might remember this, restaurants.com.
Okay.
Where they sold the gift cards.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
And so one of Kerry's greatest gifts was he understood the culture of a team.
Yeah.
And very much about, you know, creating an environment where, you know, feedback was encouraged, where, you know, listen, we can disagree, but mm-hmm. be positive.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is things is where the spirit of how people centric I am as a leader. So that would be one. The second would be Ted Balestrieri, who was the founder of PLM. Mm. So Ted was looking for an exit strategy. He had ran PLM for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And despite all my qualifications, you know, we had to build some trust. But what Ted did for me was he really connected my dots with the field level team.
Yeah.
You know, so from a difference of leading an office and a professional environment to managing a dynamic field force where, you know, these guys work 12, 13 hours a day. You know, they're intelligent, they're thoughtful, and they think differently.
Yeah.
And making that connection with those people. And so both those people just had a great influence on my life.
So what does innovation look like
in your space in the next 5 years? And Mike, I'll start with you on the sport court side. Like, what does that look like? Is it just simply growth, or is there something coming that we just don't expect?
It's perfect timing for this question because, you know, pickleball is the world, or the U.S.'s fastest growing sport. Yeah. But there's another sport on the rise, and it's called paddle or padel. And that is the next up and coming. So as America Sports Construction's focused on pickleball and promoting it as much as we possibly can and squeezing as much as we possibly can out of it, padel is on our radar, and we are, you know, certified to put it in and install it and put it across the country. So, you know, I think, you know, the numbers are very low right now, but the projections are, you know, astronomical.
All right. We're going to keep our eye on that trend for sure. Ryan?
I would say that I think as we look at the future of everything, right, we see AI's influence. Mm-hmm. Okay. And at a bigger level, eventually, I think we'll see autonomous machines, not just on a straight line road paving, because that exists today.
Okay.
Where we can take autonomous machines and pave straight forever. But to bring that technology in the short term, midterm, it's GPS control by far. Mm-hmm. It's taking the mindset that if you can play a video game, you can operate a piece of machinery.
Yeah.
And so when you can program the machine to recognize what elevation it works at, how it needs to adjust, where it needs to go. And we've been entering this space slowly. It's a big investment.
Yeah.
But it's going to be the game changer in all of our construction activities in the next 5 to 10 years.
All right, Ryan, Mike, I truly appreciate your time. I want to wrap it up with a final question, just because I'm inspired by the leadership and mentorship talk here. Ryan, I'm going to start with you. Define success.
Success is simple to me. It's doing what you love with the people that surround you and coming around a common goal. And as much as we're all as business leaders aligned around growing, scaling, succeeding. Mm-hmm. That success is those relationships that we have in the team.
Very good.
And when you have process and people and you get them to do what they're supposed to do, that's success.
Process and people makes amazing pavement. I love it. There you go. Mike?
That's a tough one. I'm a little younger in my days. I don't know have success yet. I'm still working on it.
I
think it's an ongoing thing that I'm always chasing.
Yeah.
So that's just might be like my little personal, you know, stride to go get it. But I mean, I see the people around me. I see like Orion and some of the executives at Pave America who just push me to be the best version of myself. And I think one day I'll let you know if I get there. But that's my short answer.
All right. We're going to keep working hard. Until then, appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Ryan Laughlin, Mike Blaney. Keep doing good work, and we'll have you back again soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. A few final notes here. I want to shout out Germantown. Let's go to the new Culver's rendering in Germantown. I saw this story on JS Online this week. I like the innovation coming out of Culver's, because what you got to do if you're going to continue to grow the chain across the country, you got to do things that are a little different. So kudos to the owners and community for kind of pushing forward with a creative needle. And here's the story. 4,403 square foot location, going to be on Mequon Road, brand new Culver's. It's going to have the two lanes of drive-thrus. It's going to have a dining room, a patio, and 52 parking spaces. But what's really going to stand out with this design, it's going to have a German feel to it. It's going to have a dormer and windows, natural wood accents, a German-inspired look that ties into the village's identity in Germantown. Now, this makes sense because you don't want every chain to look exactly the same. Yes, you want it to taste the same, and you want the same love when you go into a Culver's. But kudos to the store owners, Dan and Alicia Bratz. They also own the Culver's store, I believe, in Menominee Falls. But they worked with Germantown to come up with a creative concept. Make the store look a little different. Integrated in, this is at the Blackstone Creek Golf Course redevelopment. So it's going to integrate into a new development. There's going to be an existing audience already. Everyone knows what custard and burgers are all about and loves the nature of Culver's. But the look and feel of this store is going to be a little different. Again, innovation comes in a whole lot of ways as we talk to our good pavement partners before and earlier in the show. Innovation can come from anywhere. Innovation comes from thinking outside of the box and thinking into a design that a village really needs. Speaking of design, I'm still really thinking about the conversation Martin Moore and I had last week about the need for a woman to be memorialized, muralized, if you will, in downtown Milwaukee. And I'm really thankful for all the input, all the reaction around our mural. Around our mural segment last week. I believe, as I said, we need a woman in downtown Milwaukee smiling, shining brightly over us. Someone maybe from the past, maybe it's even someone from the modern day CEO leadership circles. One idea that we didn't discuss, I saw in the comments on LinkedIn this week, is Josette Juno. Now, this is a really wonderful idea. She's known as the founding mother of Milwaukee. She's the wife of the first mayor. She has a street and a park already named after her, so there's some name recognition there. But she played a really important role as the founding mom, if you will, of Milwaukee. So let's put her name in the mix. Maybe see her up on the side of a building sometime soon, but keep this on your artistic agenda, if you will, please, because downtown Milwaukee needs a mural that's a testament to the strong, wonderful women of our past.